We made it! Episode 3 on the Dope Science Show. This is Stephanie Lowe, also known as Science Stuff with Steph. I am so glad you guys are here. I had a wonderful, candid conversation with my friend Candace Heather. She is a health advocate, professional dancer, motivator, and businesswoman who lives a full life with sickle cell. This is Sickle Cell Awareness Month, September, and we want to spread more information about what is sickle cell, who has sickle cell, and how are people living with it. It's a very, very motivating, inspiring episode from her personal perspective. She has an organization that called Thrive, where she raises money for patients who have sickle cell who maybe have to take a break for work or take care of their health. So if you guys are awesome, you can donate anything, $1, $5. It'll go directly to these families who are in need when they're having a sickle cell crisis. We also talk about why it's important to have some level of science awareness or openness and education when you're advocating for anyone who has a medical health condition where you need to administer drugs or just be an advocate. So it was a pretty fun episode. What else did we talk about? Just some cool stuff about what it's like working with Kanye West and P. Diddy, and it was great. So, oh yeah, there's one point in the episode where I say goodbye, then we come back because I forgot to ask her something. So just roll with it. Talk to you soon.
So thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm trying to get different voices and different perspectives from people I know or people I want to know. And you're on my list of people I wanted to talk to because I think you're awesome.
And thank you.
I was really interested in, you know, just some of the projects I've seen you work on and advocate in regards to health and wellness.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, it's an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah, very cool. And I haven't seen you or talked to you in like years. And so I appreciate it. It's super cool that we can catch up.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what have you been up to?
Well, besides teaching and personal training, I launched a foundation for sickle cell 2 months ago in June, right around the time of World Sickle Cell Day. And it's a practical foundation which is dedicated to giving financial gifts to people living with sickle cell disease.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's a lot of different foundations and they're kind of all spread all over the place. And a lot of the work that's done is research. And I haven't come across anything, especially not where I am in the state of California, that provides actual financial gifts to help alleviate the obstacles that people with sickle cell are faced with every day, let alone when they, you know, go into the hospital and get admitted, and then discharged and come home and have to, you know, get back into the flow of life and pay bills and things like that. There's a lot of obstacles that surround sickle cell warriors in that aspect.
Definitely.
You know, and going into this, I didn't know how challenging it would be, but it's fun and it's a lot of fundraising and putting together, you know, ideas and reaching out and everything. You know, it's for charity, so it's really living in that possibility that people want to support sickle cell warriors across the globe. So It's awesome. It's a lot of work, and I love it. And it's one of the things that I've wanted to do for a very long time. So,
well, congratulations on like doing it. I know how hard it is to take an idea to a reality, So I really applaud
Yes.
you and for doing that. And I'm, you're making a real difference. Money matters. Money matters. And
It
just
does.
for the audience who may or may not know what sickle cell is, can you clarify that or give just a brief description of what the condition is?
Absolutely. So sickle cell disease is a hereditary disease. One can either carry the trait or the full disease. It is passed down from your parents. My parents both had the trait. In turn, I was blessed with having the disease. And basically, what happens is your red blood cells can mutate into a sickle shape due to a number of things such as overexertion, dehydration, extreme temperature change, and stress, which is one of the biggest causes in my adult life that has caused a crisis. So, what happens when these triggers trigger your body, one, two, or a combination of all of them, your red blood cells mutate into a sickle shape because they lose oxygen. And when that happens, they get stuck in the blood vessels and cause extreme pain. There's about five different forms of the disease. I have SC, which primarily affects the eyes and the hips. I've been recently educated about. I've had a detached retina that I've had laser surgery
Oh my
for,
goodness.
and one of the things that I have to look out for is, my hip. Basically, my hips
And you're a dancer.
deteriorating. Yeah. So yeah, and there's a more severe form of the disease that SS, which requires blood transfusions and really affects a lot of the organs. And it's been known as kind of the like an understated disease because someone walking around with sickle cell, you don't necessarily know that A, they're in pain or what they're going through. And it was a big wake-up call to my clients when I was hospitalized at the end of March because some people just had no idea that I walked around every day fighting sickle cell. And it is one of those diseases. It doesn't have a face like cancer has a face, and that's another thing in creating Thrive is I did a photo shoot to put together images that show a healthy body living with sickle cell disease, and to really inspire the community to let them know that it's possible to thrive. That's the whole point behind our mission. It is possible to thrive in face of having sickle cell.
So
So.
you were born with sickle cell anemia, and with that, does that mean, did you feel the symptoms your whole life? Have you always felt like you had to fight this illness? Did you? Because I know
Absolutely.
you're a
My
dancer, so that's like really amazing. You toured the world, so let's not forget that.
it's a part of what makes me. So yeah, we'll definitely touch on it. When I was born, and here's one of the things that don't happen in the community, that does not happen in the community as often as it should, and especially back in the 80s when I was born, people of certain ethnicities are supposed to get screened and checked for sickle cell disease. So this didn't happen when I was born, and my mom later found out that her daughter, her baby girl, had sickle cell disease, and it was a big shocker to her. I think I had my first crisis when I was just a couple months old, and they told my mom that my life expectancy wouldn't be past the age of one, and then they told her it wouldn't be past the age of 13. So, we have been, and I say we because my mom is my advocate, and it's very important for people with sickle cell to have someone that can advocate for them because it is a very painful disease. So we've been in and out of the hospital all of my life. All of my life. So there's so many hospitalizations that I cannot remember them all, but I've been in and out of many ERs in this country, in other countries. I've gotten sick while touring. As a dancer, I've been blessed to tour around the world for 11 years as a professional dancer, and I've been hospitalized in London, in Barbados, and I am my disease, so wherever I go, it goes with me.
Right. And being that, did you, it's just who you are. I mean, you don't feel, you, I liked how you say thrive warrior. And you say that because you have to really be a warrior, right? You have to be able to do take the most out of your life when people are always telling you you've only got 5 more years. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It is a daily battle, and we've, people have names for people with sickle cell. You go into the hospital, they call you sicklers or whatever these names they come up with. But the most fitting name is a sickle cell warrior, because literally you wake up, and from the time you wake up, you are fighting to live your best in face of this disease. I can do the simple act of going outside, and it's been about 100 degrees today, and not hydrate myself enough and go to work where there's air conditioning, not bring a sweater, right? And end up in a
Right.
crisis, because that's two triggers already: dehydration, probably overexertion from my work, and extreme temperature change. So literally, from the time you wake up as a sickle cell warrior, you are preparing yourself for a daily battle. What you eat, how much you drink, what stressors you allow to manifest in your life. That could be driving to work, traffic at work. Your every single circumstance you come in contact with, every single environment you come in contact with, person, you are literally in a, it sounds crazy, but you're literally in a battle, and if you choose a profession that's stressful, not only physically but mentally, like I have, I teach group fitness, and one of the beautiful things is that I get to inspire people to live a life they love and live it powerfully. But on the flip side of that is I'm holding the space for anywhere from 12 to 40 people to show up for themselves powerfully. That's a big responsibility.
Right.
That's a big responsibility. I'm not just on a mic telling you when to squat and how many squats to
Right.
do, right? But I'm really motivating you to get out of your comfort zone, and that is taxing emotionally.
Right.
And, not only emotionally, but it's taxing physically. So, we literally get up for battle every day, by the choices we make, every single moment of the day. So, and at any moment, a choice could lead us to crisis.
Right.
And when
Wow.
I say crisis, I mean a pain crisis where the pain is so extreme that you have to administer pain medication and IV fluid to unblock the red blood cells and get oxygen to the area of the body. And the pain medication is to alleviate the extreme pain.
That's amazing. I have this, I carry the sickle cell trait. And I think all my siblings do, but I don't have any symptoms of the illness or anything like that. But it's always been something that I was aware of, that the condition existed, and that it's most common about among people of African descent and some Hispanic groups as well, probably because we co-mix, but I What is what do you have you seen in regards, you mentioned research. Have you seen a lot of, minorities be engaged in research? Have you been a part of any of like test groups or anything like that?
I have not. I was lucky enough to attend. There was a educational symposium that just happened for sickle cell not too long ago in California. So I was lucky enough to speak at that and attend and sit in on some of the sessions. But there's a lot of research going on, and And I think it's beautiful because, applied knowledge is power. So you want to get the
Right.
knowledge, you want to apply it. One of the things, and it was beautiful to see the panel, one of the sessions I get to sit on was depression, how depression affects the disease. And, you may not think that you are quote unquote depressed or your state of mind is affected when you have sickle cell, but it is. So it was beautiful to see the panel of doctors and advocates and warriors, and they were all, people of color from different backgrounds, different countries,
Really?
and
Wow.
yeah. It, so
That is
that was
amazing.
beautiful to be. Yeah, it was great to be around that. And for many years, I kind of kept my disease to myself, especially being in the profession that I was in, being sick overseas and, having to explain to an artist what was going on. I always feared losing my job. And, I broke out of that, thankfully, because I learned that I had to own my disease in order for me to live my life to the fullest. And there was nothing to hide. And the fact that I could travel around the world and perform sometimes while sick, that was a beautiful thing, and it was really extraordinary. So there was no need to hide behind what was going on, and to be open and to be verbal about it and to educate people. So
When you
once
opened up,
I got
I was gonna say, when you opened up, did you feel like it made you a better artist? It allowed you to be freer?
I think it made me a better human being because it allowed me to A, live in my truth because there was nothing to hide. I wasn't being inauthentic. I wasn't trying to hide a part of me that has made me who I am. And I think that is so vital. I know that I'm not the only person that has gone through that living with sickle cell. The fear is there. You get sick and you're unable to perform for work or show up. And the fear is there that you could, lose your job or, be talked about or, people don't understand the disease, so they put you in a box. So the fear is definitely there. And me being able to be vocal about it and to educate people on it, and it helped me grow. It helped me grow a lot.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, that's why, I always say every day is an opportunity, because if you make it to the next day, just how you choose to live is what really matters. You deciding to be brave really opened up everything for you and other people. I think, I mean, everyone who was aware that you're of your illness, I hate to say illness, I don't even know if it's illness, but your condition maybe.
You can call it how it is. It's a disease. It's okay.
Oh, is it? Okay. I'm like, but weird disease, I feel like you being open, it changes the narrative. It doesn't allow people to just typecast what they think. They're like, oh, so you can have sickle cell and be a very hardcore like dance professional and be on point, and you can live this life. And so you're able to, change the ideas of other people and make them aware that you can live with it. So I think that's, really brave of you, and not just brave, it matters. Everything you do matters. So I appreciate it. I feel the ripple effects.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I say that even more so because this year I found out I have multiple sclerosis. And I got sick, and what we call our flare ups. And I couldn't move for 3 weeks, and not work or feed myself or anything like that. And when the first time something like that happens to you, it's an identity crisis, but I maybe around the same time I saw that you had sickle cell, as well, and that you went through crises and that you were
focus on wellness and starting your foundation. So I just want to say, you know, people see what you're doing and it matters.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, having sickle cell is what has propelled me into, well, my mother put me in dance when I was four. So to have an outlet, and dance has been my outlet. I mean, I've performed until I was driven straight to the hospital. And in my adult life, you know, I really strive to learn how I could be my best inside and out, and it propelled me into a career of health and wellness. And I became a certified holistic health coach and a personal trainer and a group fitness instructor, and I've created and founded the 30-Day Wellness Revolution, where I now get to take all my knowledge and empower others to change their life through customized meal planning, workouts, and personal development coaching. And, you know, if it were not for me to be in this body and blessed with this disease, I never say it's a curse. It's a blessing, because it's made me who I am, and it will continue to make me into the person I intend to be, and to empower others around the world. You know, so it really is a blessing. And if it wasn't for sickle cell, you know, I wouldn't have had the fortitude to want to learn more about my body and do better, and find things that work. And, you know, I spoke on this panel at the sickle cell convention, and I stood in front of people who were like, their jaws were dropping. Like, what? You have sickle cell? And I had people come up to me that are warriors afterwards and go, you know, well, how do you do this? And tell me this, and, you know, let me know about that. And, you know, I've taken on a very rigorous schedule. I teach 20 plus classes a week and personal training sessions. And I do it because I love it. And I do it because I won't let my disease sit me down in the same breath. You know, I'm going to do as much as I can while I'm on this earth to inspire as many people as I can. So I wouldn't have it any other way.
That is awesome. That's really awesome.
I thought I found a role somewhere in his face. I cried out, heaven save me, but I'm down to one last prayer. And with it, let me say.
And are there any resources you'd like to share, or any particular projects? I saw you had a GoFund page. How much money are you trying to raise?
We're trying to raise $1 million, and this is why. And it's really crazy how the number came about. You know, everything right now for Thrive has been family operated. Myself, my husband, and my mother. And we were jotting down our goals for Thrive, and, you know, I told my husband, I want to give, you know, gifts of like $500 to as many families as I can, you know, for people coming out of the hospital, because I know how just even that sum of money can change. And he looked at me like, really? Is that it? And I had a moment where I checked myself. I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, that is very small. And there's so much work to be done. And there's over 3.2 million people living with sickle cell disease, and even more living with the trait. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I have the trait for sure.
Right. And there's effects, you know, the trait, my mother has a trait, and there's effects from the trait, you know. And so he really had, you know, had me take another look at what our goals would be. And we came up with $1 million because, to me, that's only scratching the surface. And again, our foundation is a practical foundation. This money is not going to research. This money is going to families in need. People right. that have been in the hospital, out of work, and can't pay their mortgage, can't pay their car note, can't buy groceries, you know, can't get out of bed to fix their food. And if they want to hire someone to do it, they should be able to.
And so what do these people really look practical. Like, you know? When you say these people, let's put some faces on these people. It's you. It's, you know, what do these people look like?
Their mothers, their daughters, their fathers, their sisters, their brothers, their people's cousins. They are children. You know, there's a family that I know out here in California, and the father, who's 43, has sickle cell SC disease, and the mother doesn't, and they have a young son. And when the dad gets sick, you know, mom has to take care of baby, father, herself, and the household, you know, and just think about that strain, you know. And for me and my household, when I get sick, I have my mom, my husband, you know, that are dependent on me as well. So, and I have not only them, but I have people that show up for me every single day to inspire them that are dependent on me. And if I don't have the proper care to get myself better, then there's a lot of people's lives that I'm not able to affect on a daily basis. So, you know, the people that are living with sickle cell, and we're like, that's just this country. There's other countries that are going through this, that where people have less access to the resources that they need. We are very blessed in the United States of America. And, you know, to be able to now have health insurance with a chronic illness, and you can walk into a hospital and get care. There's people in other countries that don't have that access, you know. So on a global level, there's a lot of financial donations and gifts that can be made. And these people look like me, you, your neighbor, who you may not know has sickle cell disease.
Right.
Someone in your family who you may not know has sickle cell disease. So, and you can hear more about and read more about our mission and upcoming events we have at thriveforsicklecell.org. That's thriveforsicklecell.org.
Perfect. And I'll put that all in the notes as well.
Awesome. And everything's linked, and, you know, you can click on the donate button and go straight to our GoFundMe. And fundraising is a big, big thing. September Sickle Cell Awareness Month, so we're going to be gearing up for some fun events.
Oh, wow.
In California. Yeah. So June 19th was World Sickle Cell Day. And then September is World Sickle Cell Awareness Month, so we have a whole month.
Oh, okay. Then we're definitely going to bring some awareness, because there's so many people in our community that have it. And, you know, it's not something that you hear much about, really, at all.
It's not. It's a very understated disease, and it's very I've read people call it the quote-unquote invisible disease, because, you know, there's no visible signs that someone has sickle cell. You can't see someone's hip replacement. You know, you right. can't see someone's, I mean, you could if you really looked and maybe they walked funny, or, but you can't see someone's, and I see it every day when I look at my arm. Every single time I had an IV, you know, inserted into my veins, I can see every scar, you know, but those, you know, those things are not visible to the people on the outside. And, you know, right. most people with sickle cell that I've encountered, you know, they walk around happy, you know, even in pain, because they have life, you know, in face of being in pain and having to deal with the effects of the disease and the obstacles, they have life. They woke up. So that's something to be grateful for. So but there is a lot of awareness to bring. There's a lot of awareness to bring. I mean, I probably educated 4 to 5 people daily after I got out of the hospital and returned to work, because people just didn't know. They didn't know what sickle cell was, or maybe they heard about it, but they didn't understand it. So, you know, our mission for September is to definitely increase their awareness as much as we can.
Definitely. Well, I'll do my best to spread the word. I had no idea this September was Sickle Cell Awareness Month. That's good to know. You know, that's a month then to bring awareness and celebrate everyone who's thriving and surviving, you know, sickle cell.
Absolutely.
You know, that's definitely what September will be now. I did not know that. So thank you for sharing that. I was going
You're
to
very
ask
welcome.
You something. When you trying to get, what do you, when, I don't know how much time you have, but I did want to ask you two more questions. Well, maybe three more questions. more than
Fire
ask
away.
You. So this is a science lifestyle podcast. So I talk about everything and anything, and then I try to squeeze in some science wherever I can. Mainly for the same reason of bringing awareness and just, you know, normalizing and taking the elitism out of science. I want people to just talk about science like we talk about sports or, you know, your favorite TV show, or I want it to be something that people are very much aware of.
Thanks.
And saying all that, I'm curious, what do you think about science, or what's your relationship with science? And of course, there's no wrong answer.
When I think about science, I don't know why this thought just came up, but in high school, I was put in like an advanced placement science class, and I remember asking the teacher, well, how did I end up in this class?
You did better than me.
I don't know. I got there somehow, and I got through it. So I think science class was also, I think, why that thought comes up is on 9/11 is the class that I happened to be in. I was in high school at the time, living in New York, when 9/11 happened. So I think that's another reason why science class is fresh in my head when you say science. But it's vital, you know, it's vital if the information is getting to the people that need it. So any research that's being done, you know, is it getting to the community? Is it, you know, are people understanding it? That's another thing about science. And what's really awesome about what you're doing is it can seem daunting, like, you know, it's some big massive thing that you don't want to touch, but it's important to know. And in terms of what I do on a daily basis, it is so important to know your body. And one of the things that I preach to my group fitness participants is working effectively, because in group fitness, you come because there's a lot of people and you want that community inspiration because you're not alone. And it's very easy to get lost in the fact that, oh, there's a whole bunch of people here, so I could kind of get through it and muddle through it. But I really, really drive home that you got to make those mind-body connections, because if you're just flailing through life, not knowing what's happening, you know, how do you grow, how do you improve, right? Or flailing through a movement, how do you grow, how do you improve? So to me, you know, another thing when I think about science is just knowing your body, and on a simplistic level, knowing your body, knowing how things move, knowing what affects you, knowing what foods affects you. If you're eating something that doesn't make you feel great, stop eating it, try something else. You know, what's your hydration level, right? Are you having, you know, mood swings in the middle of the day? Maybe you didn't eat enough, you know, just, you know, that's my everyday science, you know.
Right.
And
awareness.
With my clients is awareness of your body. Absolutely.
Well, that is awesome. And another, I appreciate that. I mean, and so many people have different relationships or ideas about science. And I feel like the more we talk about it, different perspectives, you know, the less daunting and intimidating it'll be. And wouldn't it be wonderful to see more people color women and diverse people who are your doctor, you know, so or your teacher, so you get to see the representation, you know, and especially when people of color are sick or something like that. Quite often, you know, the majority of time, I mean, they don't get to see people who look like them treating them, you know, and people feel intimidated in regards to getting therapy, or they feel intimidated in regards to asking questions, you know, because of their class situation or just the culture difference, you know. And I feel like if more people are into science, it just trickles into everything, you know.
Totally, I totally get that, and to piggyback off of that, you know, if you are in the pleasure of advocating for someone that has sickle cell disease or any disease, and you're supporting them, it is so important to know your drug, what drugs they're taking, what drugs they're being administered, and that all, you know, ties into science. I mean, I've had so many instances where I've been mistreated in emergency rooms and hospitals. And when you're on pain medication, you can't advocate for yourself. And my mom has had to speak up for me so many times, and she's had to have the understanding of what drugs do X, Y, and Z, what drugs work for me, what drugs and medications don't work for me. And, you know, that all plays into science, you know, and how they affect me. And also knowing the mental capacity that I'm in when I'm on certain medications. And, you know, so if you're advocating for someone that has any type of disease and you're by their side when they're getting treatment, it is important for you to be armed with knowledge, you know.
Right.
It is very, very vital.
That is so true. So, so true. I have one more question. I always like to ask my guests, what's three songs that come to mind right now under a lot of pressure that you'd want to be, that you'd want to, you know, be the soundtrack for this episode?
Okay. So right away, Rocky came up. I don't know why. And then I teach boxing, by the way, so all my boxing songs are coming up. Rocky, Survivor, and there's a song from Creed called Last Breath. Some really great music. So if you ever need some workout tracks, definitely Rocky. That's classic. Dun, 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 dun. And then Survivor, Destiny's Child, very classic. And Last Breath from the Creed soundtrack, the movie. That is a great song, too. Yeah.
Very, very cool. That's awesome. Do you have any questions for me, or is there anything else you want to promote or talk about, or anything, your favorite movie, anything science fiction?
Science fiction. I'm a drama girl, so I'm into dramas. But I just want to applaud you for living out loud. I think that is beautiful when, like you said before, you can take an idea and turn it into action and create a platform that not only educates, but it moves, touches, and inspires people. I think we need more people in the world that are willing to live out loud and do things in a positive way. So I really appreciate you bringing me in, and it's an honor, and
it's fun.
You know, I'm new to social media stuff, but I'll go ahead and plug it. My Instagram is I am Candace Heather, and that's I am, and Candace is spelled CandyceHeather. And what's really cool about what I am doing with my social media is I'm really, really putting a face to sickle cell for those that feel like they don't have a positive image to hold on to. One of the things that I did a few months ago was just, you know, Google has to look up some hashtags about sickle cell, and every image that came up was someone in the hospital with an IV. Oh, wow. And there was nothing positive. Yeah, there was nothing positive. So I really have, along with Creating Thrive, have been on this campaign to let people know that I am Candace Heather and I thrive with sickle cell.
You sure do. I just followed you. Follow you guys.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Yeah, this is very inspiring. I'm looking at your page. That is really cool. And you can be, you know, and if you're using that hashtag, sickle cell, maybe thrive or warrior or something like that, that'll be great, you know, because then people can find you and they can feel like, hey, I can do this.
Oh, yes.
Look at her.
You can find the hashtag through I am Candace Heather or I thrive or sickle cell warrior. I hashtag those all day long. So,
well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate your time, and I will put all your details in the notes. And I guess that's it. I'm just gonna go take my old self to bed. Actually, I'm alive. Hey, Candace.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you? It's going well.
Happy Saturday.
Thank you. Same to you. Happy Saturday.
Cool. Well, I just wanted to touch back with you real quick because I totally forgot to ask you anything about, you know, living and performing on tour, because that's super fun and not everyone gets to do that. So I was just wondering, did you have any funny, like, stories that stand out in your mind or something memorable that, like, touched you while you were on tour? Or how many tours have you been on or different performers have you worked with?
Well, I've toured for 11 years. And,
wow. That's a long time.
With a number of different artists. And I guess one of the most memorable things and touching things that stands out is right before a show, I think we were in Sweden with Kanye West. He used 22 dancers for this particular tour, and that in itself is amazing, because when you think of Kanye West, you don't think of dancers, and then you wouldn't think he would use that amount of dancers. So to employ 22 dancers is pretty phenomenal. But one time before we were performing, I think we were in Sweden, he called us all downstairs, and, you know, we were all, like, kind of in our costumes and stretching and warming up and getting ready to go. And he just wanted to thank us, like, not for that moment and the work we had done on the tour, but he wanted to thank us for the years of training that we had put in that had led us up to the moment of, you know, being hired and being able to dance on his tour. And it was really touching, because, you know, I got to see another human side of him. And, you know, sometimes we, you know, work with celebrities and people get a bad rap or whatever. But, you know, to see that side of him was really amazing. Yeah, and he's an awesome person to work for. But that was really touching, and to recognize the amount of work that went into, you know, not only us being on stage that very day, but us being at the point we were in our life to be chosen to be on that tour. It just was a really cool moment.
I bet, because all I can imagine is most people don't take the time to think about the sacrifice and discipline that it took to get to where you were, you know, and that
Absolutely.
As a performer or creative, to actually be able to excel in your craft and so and recognize the effort it took to get there, you know, that's definitely touching. I don't think most people, they take it for granted, you know.
Definitely. For sure, for sure.
Yeah, I would have been all, oh, that's super sweet, super sweet.
Yeah,
that's
really
cool.
Was.
That's super cool. Have you ever had, what's the funniest thing that ever happened while you were on tour, or funny to you, or something, or crazy?
Funniest thing.
Or crazy, or scary. Just something that you're just like, man, I can't believe that happened.
Well, one of the craziest things that happened, I think, was working for Diddy. He's very detailed and oriented, almost like you could say a perfectionist. And we were in rehearsal for the EMAs, which are the European version of the MTV Awards.
Okay.
And he's like, okay, we're going to run this from the top, and we're going to do it 13 times, and if someone messes up, we're going to go back to one. And,
what?
You know, we were tired. We had been rehearsing all day already, and so we get to, you know, going from the top of the routine, and he keeps messing up.
He keeps messing up.
And we keep going back from the top. And I'm like, okay, well, you put the rule in place. Why do you keep messing up? So that was just an interesting moment.
That's funny. I can imagine you're just like tired, but got to keep a game face on. You're like, come on, you got this, Diddy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, how do you tell Diddy, like, can you get your stuff together, please? Could you get it together?
That's so funny. That's funny. I can see that. Very cool. Well, I just wanted to grab that from you so I can share that on the podcast. But
cool.
I appreciate your time. Definitely.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Anytime, my dear. How you feeling?
All right. I'm doing good. It's so weird having MS, and I'm grateful, you know, because you can forget that you have it, you know, or
mm-hmm.
you don't even, I don't know if you were asking me that, but it's like you can forget you have it until you get sick. So I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying it. I just live day by day and try to take advantage of every opportunity and not get lazy, because I never know, like, I could wake up and then I can't do any of this stuff, you know?
Yeah. I feel you. So, trust me. I feel you.
You know, it's like you want to be, like, all week my daughter was like, because she's going to start track this year, and so she's, like, getting excited, and all week she's been like, let's go run. And all week I've been like, I'm so tired. No, let's do it another day. And I was like, okay, finally, we'll do it on Friday. And so Friday comes, and she's like, let's go. And I'm like, I don't want to. I just want to stay in bed. I'm pretty much, like, throwing a mini fit. Like, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. And then I was like, all right, let's just do it. So we go, and we race each other because we're, like, doing sprints and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so much fun. It felt so good. You know, the sun felt good. And I was just, like, appreciative that I could even run, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I was like, why was I saying I don't want to do this? I was like, we've got to do this at least twice a week. I was like, we got to. We got to do this. So, yeah.
I'm glad you have someone in your corner pushing you.
Me too, because I'm like a hermit, so I'm very much, I get that from my mom, like I'll be out, but like I have a really bad tendency to just kind of want to be in a cave, and it's like this really strong desire that overtakes me, so it's good when someone forces me, even if I'm like complaining the whole way, you know, to get out. I'm in LA all weekend. Today I'm at like going to this networking thing, people who do like web series
producers and actors and things like that, like independent people. Yeah, it's a bunch of black women, and we're all coming together and gonna, you know, celebrate and talk and hang out. I'm doing that at like 1:00, and then after that, just gonna hang out in Venice. I'm spending the whole weekend here. And then the next day, friend has a music video, and she was like, oh, can you be in it? So I'm going to do that. So I'm really excited. Yeah.
Oh, well, have an amazing weekend. It sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've been looking forward all week. I was like, oh, this is so fun. So, yes, definitely. And you were on my amazing list, too, so I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Well, enjoy your weekend. Have fun. Live it up.
I will. And you too. I hope you have a good time. And tell your husband hello. I met him a couple times. Sending positive energy to everyone in your family.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
We'll talk soon. All right. Bye, sweetheart.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you guys for listening to the show. I hope that it was inspiring, that you learned something, and maybe you'll share this with someone else who would benefit from hearing from someone who has, you know, health challenges in life and still manages to live a full happy life. In the comments, feel free to share any resources you know about sickle cell, or add any feedback on how I can improve the show, or what kind of topics you'd like to hear or contribute or have me talk about. Thank you again, Candace, for your time. I appreciate it. I am rooting for you. I want to give a shout out to Candace's organization. It is called, and it will also be in the show notes, but it is called thriveforsicklecell.org. And there's a hashtag thrive. She also has at the 30-day wellness revolution. I believe that is on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also find her at I Am Candace Heather. You can find her on Instagram and Twitter as well. Again, thriveforsicklecell.org. And for that organization, all the money goes to people in need. So you have a direct impact on someone's life, whether it be $5, $10, $100, whatever you give, it makes a difference. And on the next show, I promise, it will be David Beck. David Beck is a black father who lives in the D.C. area. He is very, very active in education and, in particular, robotics. He reaches out to kids and helps organize robotic teams. And he is very active in judging them and recruiting just more people to get involved in those type of activities. He shares his experience with growing up in science, how he became an engineer, the challenges he has, and just his perspective and hope for the future. It's a really great episode, really insightful, and it's good to hear it from someone who's actually, you know, a minority in a STEM field. So I think you'll find it helpful, entertaining. So on that note, you guys, I hope you guys have a great week. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you soon.